Sci-fi. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is the Starburns Audio Produced Podcast. One believer, one skeptic, and one guest. We've got a Patreon. Go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. Get access to 2 bonus episodes a week. They're better than this. They're better than the real episodes.
Join us.
Let's see what else. There's a Discord. You can find that if you're savvy. And if you're not savvy, you got to join the Patreon and then I'll send you the link. But you got to ask me for it because I don't know who you are. That's the business. Oh, if you leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, we'll read it on the air. We haven't had one in so long. Someone should just please just placate me and fucking write one, even if you've written one before. Arrowhead Prid 3, I'm looking at you. Your team sucks this year. Sorry.
That's right.
like we can talk fucking Broncos.
We're worse, but you suck too.
Let's welcome
Wait, are you guys both Broncos fans? Wait, are you a Broncos fan too?
Yeah. Well, we went to high school together. So, I mean, we're from the same town.
What? How did I not know this?
Man. All right. Well, let me introduce you and then we can talk about it. From the No Film School podcast, it is our good friend, George Edelman. George, thanks for being here, man.
Thanks for having me, guys. I'm learning so much already that I didn't know, and I've known you for a long time.
Yeah, we are from the same town. He was in my sister's grade, so we kind of knew each other in high school, didn't really hang out. And then we connected at Colorado State, doing like our dumb fucking sketch comedy shit. And then we moved out here together. And
yeah, that's where we met Drew Hancock, too.
That's fucking so okay. Yeah, I had not put all the pieces together. I always thought of Wade. I connected you with Drew. Willie, connected you with the guys that you did the channel, those other shows with at 101, like that, like Manischewitz and like Ryan Elder. I thought those were your crews. That, like, I thought everybody was born with their crews that they were with. I didn't know there was like a cross pollination took place. So
yeah, we would split up and then come back together for various things and. Yeah.
So you're both Broncos fans and you're both, I assume, Nuggets fans. Your Nuggets.
Are you into the NBA?
Oh yeah.
Like, oh, I see. Is that a,
I got a crocodile with a Kobe Bryant jersey on behind me.
So,
I'm super into the NBA. I used to be super into baseball and there's a part of football in LA. Like we don't have a lot, like there's not a heritage.
But you've been betrayed too many times.
Yeah. It hurts
because you're from here.
Yes. I know. It's weird, right?
What do you think of the Lakers this year? I mean, since LeBron came, like, how can you, any self-respecting fan, you can't be a fan of the Lakers anymore, right? Like, they just buy the best team. Like, that's
No, you can't buy in the NBA. There's a cap, right? So, like, here's
you
the thing.
You can't get the 2 best players in the world and say that you didn't buy the team.
We had a very bad team for a very long, for us, for a long time before LeBron came. He kind of saved us and made us relevant.
Yeah, what was that? Like him. a five-year stretch where you guys weren't winning.
Yeah, we had a, it was, might have even been 4. It was long.
Fucking spoiled brats, dude.
But anyway, he came, he saved us from oblivion. And he brought with him Clutch, that like the sports agency that moves everything and gets you guys like Anthony Davis. And like somehow though, they're like fucking it up, man. Like the last couple of years, they're like, you don't keep changing your team completely every season. And it's like Melo, like, I don't know. I'm a guy who watches every game. Like I love basketball.
Yeah. So I try to watch every Nuggets game.
Yeah. I mean, the Nuggets are great. And like Joker is a genius. And when you get Murray back.
We had a scare the other day. I don't know if you saw. He went down. He hit his knee, but he's fine. So we're good.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about being a fan of Anthony Davis. He goes down like 6 times a game awkwardly and looks like he might die. And I saw someone tweeted the stat line was like 20 points, 10 rebounds, 1 death.
Oh, my gosh, that's funny.
Is he flopping or is he just
like his body is weird and he just falls awkwardly.
He's like that kid who grew too fast and he's not used to his limbs yet.
Yeah. I've compared him to is he looks like when you're driving by the car dealership and there's the thing that's like this and I'm waving my arms like he's like that. And it's like,
and it goes down every few minutes, you know,
right. It does. It always falls.
It's like flopping. And then it's way taller than everybody. And then it's like floundering around. And it's been this has been a weird fight. It's already
how many games have they played? What have they played, like three or four games so
they've
far?
Played five, and they've looked pretty bad in all of them. They've managed.
What does Melo do? Does he come off the bench? Like what is his role in that
team? Yeah, you guys have a history with him, right? This is turning into a sports broadcast, which is fine with me, by the way.
It's fine. But we'll get to the sci-fi stuff in a second. But like, here's the thing with Carmelo is like, a lot of Denver fans hate him. I didn't, you know, we're a mid small market team. Like, he is a New York dude. He went to Syracuse and stuff like that. So like,
he's,
I didn't,
from Baltimore, for leaving. Yeah. Yeah.
He fulfilled his contract with us, and you know, he did a good job. Yeah. And
what's funny about him is I'm sure he was much different then. Cause I remember playing your guys. You had a great team. 08, 09.
The Thuggets.
Yeah. The Thuggets. If Kobe had not been like peak of the world at the time, I think he probably would have been in the finals. But like, I remember thinking of Melo as just like, I think Hoopers love him because he's one of the most smooth, fundamental players. But there's something off. Like, now he's like, what? He's like, you know, 40 or something.
Well, he's as old as LeBron is. They were the same class, right?
Right. So and LeBron is. He's a freak. So he plays like he's still 30. But like, Melo just can't move on defense. Like, he can't. Like, but he shoots well still. I mean,
Russell Westbrook is a mess. He's a points guy, right?
Yeah, he gets buckets. But like, I knew a guy, I had a friend, I should connect you guys at some point, who was a beat writer for the Nuggets around that time period of the Thuggets. Uh-huh. And so he had stories about all those guys, and he followed the melodrama. He was like the beat writer who was just like chasing him around the tunnels. And like, he told me some funny things about J.R. Smith though, which one day, like,
good funny things or weird?
Not really good. Like, not a great guy.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't seem like a good guy. Isn't he golfing now? Doesn't he golf for a college team?
He golfs for a college team, and he's like getting his law degree or something. And he's like, he posts his grades on Instagram, and he's like doing well. And everybody's like, how is this happening?
School's easy when you're old.
I'm sad that McGee went back to you guys, because I love JaVale McGee. We didn't use him that much, but like, I loved him, and our bench sucks right now. Like, we could use some of those dudes.
I had a McGee jersey, and then when he left, I was so happy when he came back. I was like, yes, I get to wear it. And then he's gone.
He left. He came back. Now, where is he? He's been everywhere. He's all over the place.
Wait, is he not? I thought he was a Laker again.
No, he was 2 years ago. He went to you. He's somewhere else now. Let me ask you guys this, though. I'm curious.
Oh, you know what? I think he went to Brooklyn. It's like the East Coast.
The East Coast Lakers, yeah. Just the collection of old guys. Who's the what do you guys think of MPJ?
Michael Porter Jr. You know, I was scared at the end of last season when they
I gotta correct this. He's a Phoenix Sun. I don't know why I thought.
Wow.
Corrections department
the other night.
I like that. Yeah. We don't want to offend.
MPJ is here's what I think of him. Amazing talent, very naive, doesn't really understand the world yet, and like, his politics are off, you know.
He's not a big fan of shots as I understand it.
Well, he's a big fan of taking shots, just not receiving.
I mean, vaccine. Right.
And he's been really struggling so far. Like, he's cold as shit right now, and so like, we need him too.
I've noticed when he takes shots, he's like, he doesn't square up. He gets the ball and he's shooting, and his legs are always off. And I'm like, dude, fucking square up.
Anyways, I think he's too cocky. I think he knows how talented he is, and he's very talented, and so he just like jacks so many shots. But they said he was learning. They said he was like finding open men when he's double teamed and stuff. But he's just not hitting anything right now.
He should be so good. He's got such potential. But
he'll be good.
Yeah, I think when you get Murray back, it's a whole. He's the key. You know.
Yeah,
I think
Aaron Gordon. Aaron Gordon's like super stepping up. Sorry, Willie.
Yeah, I agree. Gordon's looking great. At the end of last season, when the announcers kept talking about how his back was hurt and that's why he wasn't shooting, I'm like, are you just fucking making this up? Because it didn't look like his back was hurting. He's just missing shots. Did you think that he was?
I don't even remember that. I don't know.
At the end of the season, and I was like, I don't. You guys are just fulfilling the narrative of like that you know, like, no, there's no nothing to your, I fucking hate announcers. Anyways, I think that if he, I think he could grow into himself, and I hope that he does. If not, but boy, it's going to be rough.
You know what's weird?
Piece, right? Does he come off the bench now, or does he start?
No, he starts.
Yeah. The guy who went to Detroit, I actually really liked that guy, but he got paid a lot. The guy you had in the bubble.
He's like a
3-4. Good defender.
Yeah, I can't think of his name. Yeah, I loved him. We basically got J. Michael Green to be him, but he's not as good as him.
I like that guy. He was a good
Grant. Fit. Grant. Jeremy Grant.
Yes. Yeah, he's Grant.
Yeah,
he's,
Jeremy Grant.
He's Horace Grant's, like, nephew, maybe.
Oh,
like,
really?
There's some connection. There's, like, a Grant. A bunch of Horace Grant's nephews are in the league. At least two. And he's one of them, I think. Like, at least two.
They all just got free admission to Jordan's camp is what happened, right?
Yeah, yeah, probably.
Sure. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk sci-fi. Are you, George, how into, like, conspiracy theories and paranormal stuff are you?
I'm very aware of them because I'm surrounded by people who are really into them, including my wife. But, like,
people,
yeah, she's always assumes that there's something beyond whatever, you know, like there's a, you know, the pieces come together. Not like QAnon, like that, like not like that kind of stuff, or like the lizard people who control everything. Like, just like she'll like, for example, I'm sure you guys have covered this one, being from Colorado, but, you know, the Denver airport, you know, like there's some things that kind of like stare people in the face. Those ones that they're just like, something's up here, you know.
Have you flown through there with her? Have you guys seen that stuff?
Oh, yeah. It's weird, man. There's like,
oh, it's very weird. Yeah.
I tend to be a skeptic. So I tend to look for, like, there's got to be a, like, you know, I think the mind strings together the narrative that makes sense. And sometimes that's going to be something like crazy, but it may not be. It may be something far simpler. But either way, like, I remember flying through Denver and I was definitely like, yeah, this stuff's weird. Like, this is, there's something going on.
Did you see the description of the gargoyles in the luggage area?
No.
I don't know if you got there. Yeah. They have these gargoyles that are like pulling their faces back. And in the description, it's just like, this gargoyle looks over the luggage, whatever, and is about the size of a fourth grader. It's like, what?
Huh? I love that.
There's to me, it's those murals, man. Like, you can stare at those murals. Like, I took a lot of art history classes. Like, I learned about looking at art, and I look at those murals and I'm like, dude, someone was fucked up. Someone was thinking weird stuff and putting weird pieces together. Because there's so much more to that than I can figure out. Like, whether or not it's what the conspiracy theories say it is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's bizarre for sure. You described yourself as a skeptic, but we will be the judge of that. We have something called the WOW scale here. It stands for Waiter Willie. It's a 5-question quiz. At the end, I will tabulate your score. If you're more of a 0, you're more of a Wade. If you're more of a 5, you're more of a Willie. Are you ready to be weighed on the WOW scale?
Yeah. Wade as in weight, not Wade as in Randolph.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, you got it. But I'm also, you know, I'm also pick just up. Like, what's it? What's the mind thing? What's that called?
Yeah,
subliminal. I'm subliminally messaging. Everyone should be more of a Wade.
Wow scale.
Are you a Wade or are you a Willie?
All right, first question, 3-parter. Do you believe in aliens? If so, have they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
Do I believe in them? I assume there are aliens somewhere in the universe. It's a big place. So yes, I guess. 2, have they visited Earth? I guess I don't feel like I have conclusive evidence. I would assume that if they can travel, my thought has always been, if they're capable of traveling through space and they can come by here, I think we'd be like an anthill that they wouldn't waste time with. So I'm going to say no. So that would also mean no for 3, right?
Okay. All right. Second question. Do you believe in ghosts?
No.
Not at all. No. A very quick no. You're
I'll tell you why I don't believe in ghosts.
Okay, go ahead.
This is my thing. Like, I've had this argument with my wife before, and I think it's funny. It may not be funny to other people. I think it's funny. If there were ghosts, like, why isn't the air just packed with ghosts? Like, why isn't, like, are there dinosaur ghosts? Like, are there ghosts? Like, am I breathing ghosts? Like, are ghosts? How could there be ghosts? There have been so many things that lived and died. Now, I've heard people say, well, some things get to be ghosts. But then I'm like, well, what are the ghost rules? Like, what things get to be ghosts and what things don't? And what qualifies you and who decides? And, like, is it just random? Like, you're just like, oh, shit, I'm a ghost. And I didn't think I was going to be chosen to be a ghost. Like, I just have so many questions about what would qualify, that I think it's just too absurd a concept to me. Like, I just don't think so.
Yeah, I have made similar points where it's like, you watch I'm assuming it's horrible. I don't know if we know anyone who works on it, so I won't say that it's horrible, but I haven't seen it. But there's this new show, Ghosts, on one of the networks, CBS or something.
Okay.
And they move into a house and there's all these ghosts and there's, like, you know, 10 of them. Like, why isn't there a million of them? Like, she should not be able to walk through that house. It should be packed with ghosts.
My take on ghosts. Yeah, exactly. Like, my thing is just, I think that they are a great metaphor for the things that haunt us. So when we tell stories or when we're experiencing what we think is a ghost, it's about something internal. Like, it's about something else that's going on. It's about, I think in America, our fixation on ghosts tends to often align with stuff about, like, our dark history with the way we've treated people. Like, there's some really gross stuff we've done to people. And I think a lot of the hauntings have something to do with that. Like, there's a history that's chilling and cruel. But I don't think it's that the actual deceased roam the earth in some fashion.
What if they were demons? Would that change your
like the opinion? Only ghosts are the demon ghosts?
Yeah, they're not even people. They're demons. They're, like, otherworldly. Could you buy that?
No. So you mean it's not related to something dying and coming back as ghosts? It's just like a...
Well, that's one of Willie's theories, I think, that they're not dead people. They are, like, spirits, some kind of other, right?
Entities maybe in another parallel dimension or something we're seeing. I mean, I got a lot of things that could be, you know, that maybe even an echo, the equivalent of an echo of somebody's life. Or
yeah, I am willing to believe that there's a lot of stuff that I can't understand or comprehend. And if you're telling me there are things like some kind of quantum spatial distortion whereby there's an echo from like, if that could be true. Like, there could be stuff. It's kind of like my alien thing. Like, I'd buy that there are things that are way beyond my capacity to understand them happening. And I'm seeing some, you know, version of it. But I don't I think my brain, like, if the human brain's version of explaining that is, oh, it's a dead person who's back.
Yeah.
Like, nah, I'm not buying that. But I could believe Willie's, like, no, it's like some kind of quantum echo of another version of you, or of, you know, something like maybe time is simultaneous, like, and the universe exploded and all these things are happening at once or something.
Sure,
and yeah, so you're, like, totally brushing with another timeline. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm not the arbiter.
I'm always truth. Like, you know what? This ghost was mad because he was murdered. And I'm like, okay, what about all these Native Americans?
You know? Yeah. Well, that's the, yeah. Like, why aren't they everywhere? Like,
what about, like, kill, like, shelters? Shouldn't they be haunted with, like, a million dead cats?
Yeah.
Well, I've heard people say that animals don't get to have them, because my big thing was, like, do dinosaurs have ghosts? Because then there'd be, like, huge ghosts everywhere.
Yeah.
Which is funny to me. Like, would we be walking through giant dinosaur ghosts?
Totally. Yeah.
But if animals, if, like, lizard brains can't have them, and it's more about our consciousness or our soul or some sort of religious concept, and it, maybe it's just people who are killed. Like, you're right. Like, why, if it's all, like, Native Americans, or maybe it's, like, you know, prison wards, or, like, you know, places where people have been executed, like, entire armies,
torture,
like, you know, yeah, there's gotta be, you know, I saw this movie that's out. I don't know when this is going to air. It's probably out by now, but Last Night in Soho has a lot to do with the, like, relationship between the past and the present. And they don't really talk about, like, you know, the rules, like, but it's fascinating because it's kind of like, can you, like, live through, kind of see someone else's experience. Like, it plays with all that. So I don't know. It seems relevant. So I'm bringing it up.
Cool. You're from LA, right?
Yeah.
Were you raised religious at all?
No.
Okay. Not at all. Not any. Have you ever been in a church?
No. I mean, I've been in a church. My parents are Jewish, but not practicing. Their parents were not really practicing. Like, my grandparents were pretty much atheists, almost all four of them. So like, I have a very like they were just rejected. Wow. They were just not religious people. Like, and my great grandparents, there might have been some like commitment, but that's like, those are people I did not meet. So my life did not have a lot. You know, I knew kids who had, like, growing up in LA and the communities I was in, like, I went to a hell of a lot of bar mitzvahs. But, you know.
Did you have a bar mitzvah?
No, I didn't.
Wow. You didn't do it just for the money?
I mean, the truth is, I'm so lazy, and I was then too, that like, it was a lot to deal. Like, I did not want to go every Sunday. I think my mom tried to get me to like, just do this one little part of it. Like, it's worth trying. Like, and I was not happy.
It's,
like,
to me, as someone with anxiety, standing in front of a group of people and singing in a foreign language, that's torture right there. Like, that is the worst thing that you could ever ask of me.
It's funny because you're a performer in ways.
No, not live, not live. Yeah, I get really bad anxiety. All right. Question.
Am I allowed to ask you guys if you have, I mean, I'm sure the audience knows, but I am curious. Do either of you have background with religious anything?
We have kind of the same background a little bit. I mean, like, my parents were very, very relaxed, sort of non-denominational Christian. The older they get, the more religious they're getting, which is concerning because
it's also consistent, though, with people's general like trajectory, right?
Yeah, but it's like, what? So you're going to go to heaven? You're going to go to this man-made creation just to make yourself feel better about the life that you wasted? Like, why didn't you just think about that when you were alive, man? Or when you were younger, at least.
When you were more alive.
Our family used to go to tons of churches, and then we kind of dropped, my parents dropped out, and us kids kept going to church, and our whole family went to church. And then we all knocked off, but our family didn't. My dad's side of the family.
Does having a kid change how you feel about it at all? Like the community stuff?
I do appreciate the community, but I just hope that we'll find it after COVID with our creative friends, you know, like of just getting together, even, you know.
Yeah. It's definitely like a thing. Yeah. When you have kids, you start to recognize that like, cause people, that's like a place where you find community. Like that's one reason people like it and it makes sense to me, but, I'm just not, it's just not my thing. Like, I think I have a very, it's not my thing, but I don't, I try very hard. And I think this is an important point that I'll make about myself, but I believe it's a good one. Like, I try not to be judgmental about people who are, or anybody who takes it seriously or is into it. I think a lot of, especially like LA, a lot of people think like atheism or agnosticism, and they kind of look down their nose at like, well, you got to be crazy to buy into anything. And I'm sort of like, I try to withhold judgment on like, because look, there is I don't want to get into all there, but
I know, right?
That,
right.
Yeah, I know it is go down the wormhole, but like I feel strongly that it's good to just like live and let live on that one. That's my thing. Like, it's not for me.
I will say, for a long time, I thought that growing up in the church made me want to be a better person, but I'm like, no, that the church had nothing to do with that. You know, I don't want to give that to them because,
yeah, you think you just wanted to be a better person. Wait, did you grow up and just want to be a worse person?
Yeah, I was like,
that's what I'm getting at. Like,
I'm
going to
steal whatever I want. Honestly, I am kind of getting more like that. I am kind of getting more like, well, hang on, there's billionaires and stuff. Why can't I just steal this candy bar? Like, no one's going to get me. Dude, white.
I'm walking around at work telling everyone, stop doing such a good job because they're making all the money off of you. Like, don't fucking sweat. Even though I sweat all day, you know, like, don't fucking sweat all day for them. Like, do it for yourself.
Yeah, there's a lot of I can relate to that big time. Like, it's just kind of like, who are you benefiting when you like, who's yeah. Yeah,
guys, I've been a good worker my whole life because I'm like, I should be a good business owner.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, but then you're the bad guy. I mean, you can't win.
No,
you're right. You're right.
Nobody wins.
Question number three: do you believe in Bigfoot?
No. I mean, it's weird. I have no reason to believe in it. If you told me tomorrow it was 100% true and people found him, and I would be like, okay, like I like, you know, like I'm not like aggressively like it's impossible, how could it be possible? I'm just like, I don't think it's true.
Yeah,
but yeah, I'm not saying it's like out of the range of, you know, like
it's your same view as religion. You're agnostic toward it. You don't care if people believe in it.
Yeah, and I'm also not like aggressively anti the idea that there could be a Bigfoot. I honestly I haven't thought about it that much, but I don't believe it's true.
All right. What about
we're talking psychics? Like Harry and the Hendersons, right? That's basically what it is.
Bigfoot.
Like,
yeah. 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 Jack's Link's jerky or whatever the fuck. Question four. Do you believe in psychics?
No. I've only gotten a few psychic readings in my life and they've been so bad. And I feel like that, like at one as a kid, one is like a kind of a youth, like a 20 early 20s. And I think what I took away from both of them was like, I must look like a mark, because both times I feel like they were trying to get me to commit, to come back, to like work on whatever my aura, whatever was screwed up about my future. But they were both like, they were like pulling out really negative, like, Oh, it looks bad. Like, I'm not joking. Like, both times.
Oh my gosh.
Completely different places. And they're like, you're going to have to like, oh, you might want to come back. Like, it was like, they went on the hard sell. And I was like, I must just look like a mark. But I also like, it engendered within me this real negative, like, okay, they gotta be kooks. Oh, because otherwise, like, I'm going to walk around here and it's like, I got the bad tarot card. Like, right. I literally think one of them, they pulled out like the bad, whatever the bad one is.
The worst thing.
Yeah. I was like, I'm not into this. Like, I don't like it. Like, I had to choose not to believe in it. But do I believe in psychics? I believe there are people who are super intuitive and they can read things much better than other people. And so I think that that skill set could easily be considered some version of a psychic. And there's some people who are amazingly not able to read things, almost to a comedic degree. I love those people because they're funny. But yeah.
Okay. So we got a buzzer beater fifth question here.
Oh no, you froze.
This is the monkey wrench. So are you superstitious?
Yeah, I am. I try really hard not to be because I want to be consistent, and I know that it goes against all my other answers, and it's like, man, I'll tell you what, like, I'll give you an example. Like, I bought this summer and I have a rule. It's a Westbrook Lakers jersey. And I have this rule where I'm like, if I buy a current player's jersey, they're going to be bad. And this summer I was like, I don't care. I'm just doing it. Like, it's going to be fine. And he's been bad. And so I'm like, I'm not joking. I put it on eBay and I haven't sold it yet. And I'm considering just taking it to like Goodwill, because I'm like, I think I'm hurting the cause right now. So I am very superstitious. Like, it's a problem. Yes.
Well, shit. I mean, you are a straight up zero because the superstition is a trick question where I'm superstitious, Willie isn't. And so we align completely on all of these answers. So welcome to the Wade Club.
Oh, wow.
Come on in. We got booze and fun stuff over here. Not as fun as Bigfoot and Loch Ness, but
I was sure I would be. Time. I was sure that superstition was going to throw me and make me a complicated figure, but it actually makes me a very simple
it's a
figure,
twist,
as it turns out.
Well, no, what it turns out is that Willie and I are both complicated, and you can't predict what the scale is going to be. So
true. Yeah.
You're complicated.
Okay.
Before we get to the topic, I did want to ask you, I glossed over this. I forgot to ask you this. No Film School podcast. Like, do you want to just like pitch that to us real quick?
Yeah. The No Film School podcast is a 2 episodes a week. Usually we do 1 episode that's just a weekly roundup where we talk about the things that are happening in the world of filmmaking. So that means it could be like the technology stuff that drops, like new computers and new cameras. We have a tech guy who knows way more about that stuff than me. And then we can talk about, you know, like terrible accidents on sets like the one last week, or, you know, union strikes and what the repercussions are. And, you know,
it's like very inside baseball, this podcast.
Yeah. No Film School is entirely inside baseball for people who are in the industry and want to just know about stuff that they might have missed, or people who want to be in the industry or just want to know more about how it works. I don't know if you guys are aware of this, because you're like, I'm from LA, but you guys being from Denver, outside of the bubble we live in here in LA, a lot of people don't understand like how things work. Like, they don't know how the sausage is made. Like, they'll think like, do they shoot it all in order? And like, you know, do the actors make up what they say? And like, most of the No Film School listeners know those things, but there's a lot of people who are just like, it's all strange to them. So we try to peel back the curtain. It's very inside baseball. The other thing we do is once a week, we drop an interview episode where we get to talk to a lot of the like top crafts people, like, so DPs, cinematographers, editors, writers, directors, sometimes production designers. Like, we just go through like, and because we're like an industry, like you said, inside baseball, like we get into the things like, so how did you become like an electric? Like, what was your first gig? Like, how did you make the jump from being a gaffer to some cinematographer? And then I've gotten some like of the best stories. Like, I talked to a guy who was an electric or a gaffer, I think, on The Island of Dr. Moreau with Marlon Brando and Val Kilmer. Whoa. And the dude just had the best stories. Like,
I don't mean to cut you off. Have you seen the documentary about that?
No, I haven't. And I probably should have before I talked to him.
Oh my God, dude, you've got to watch it. It's
really,
the director got fired.
Yeah. Yes. He talked about
snuck
that
back on the set as an extra, as one of the animal people. He like just stole a mask and he was just hanging out as an extra, the director.
Yeah, there's so much. That's a good one. He told me some weird stuff. And he was like, after some of the days, they would just like hit the bar and be like, what did we see? Like, what did we do today? Like, anyway, it's there's things like that. And like this last week, like the Dune, like had the cinematographer and the editor from Dune, which is awesome to talk to those guys about making a movie at that scale. We had Edgar Wright for Last Night in Soho.
Holy shit. How are you pulling these guys?
I think because I have a lot of relationships with the PR teams. So the PR teams will contact me and be like, do you want to, you know, talk to, you know, someone from the movie, and we'll put in a request.
Holy fuck.
And a lot of times the directors will pass, like Cary Fukunaga. Sorry if I pronounced his name wrong for Bond. Couldn't get him, but we got the DP, which was awesome. And like, we got the visual effects supervisor, the special effects supervisor. And I'll tell you, it's really cool to talk to the guy who does the practical effects on a Bond movie, because like, that's so much of what the movie is. So it's really like, I think the podcast is really for movie nerds who don't just want to talk about like what the end result, like, did you like it or not? We don't do reviews. Just like, how did they do it? Like, it's not about if you liked it. It's about like, how the fuck do they do it? You know?
Well, listen, I mean, you completely sold me. I don't even think I knew that you were doing this. I've heard of the No Film School podcast, I think, but maybe just through like our same circles, but I never knew it was you.
No, it predates me. I've only been doing it for a few years. It's been going on for 10 or like 6 or 7.
A lot of our listeners are like very into when we tell like, you know, sort of Hollywood stories. So hopefully a few of them will go over and check that out.
Check it out. And I'm going to steal something from you guys. I'm going to read 5-star comments from now on. I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah, man.
I can't wait for a weird one.
We get mostly weird ones.
That's the best.
We got to take a break, but before we do, Willie, hit us with the topic.
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, FBI releases doc with details of alien bodies, spaceships, and planets. When these documents get declassified, how much credibility should we add to these documents? We're going to get into one or two specific ones and talk about the substance of what they're claiming in this document about fucking alien life and parallel universes tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi.
Oh, man, you fucking nailed it. All right, so we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about this FBI. It's a documentary or a document?
No, I said doc. Yeah, it's a document.
We'll talk about this document that they released with our friend George Adelman. The podcast is called No Film School, right?
Yep.
Check it out, and we'll be right back.
Willie Bad Movies presents The Time Traveler.
Hey, mister, are you from the future?
Yeah, I got a lot of things to let you guys in on. The information that I have could save you all if you'd only listen. I've been here before.
This isn't his first time here.
I've been here before.
And it won't be his last.
You never listen. You never listen to me!
Motion elements.
I'm trying to save you, dumbass!
Grandpa from the future.
Whose grandpa are you?
I'm everybody's grandpa!
Grandpa from the future.
Motion elements.
This is not his first time. Grandpa from the future.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Real Life Sci-Fi. We're talking to our good friend George Adelman. The podcast is called No Film School. I'm going to put it on, man. Instead of this bullshit that I'm listening to regularly,
Is the bullshit you listen to about murders or something? We don't have that.
No.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk shit, but it's the fast food guys. It's the fucking Doughboys. Listen, I like the Doughboys, but like I need to diversify. I'm getting nothing out of that. You know, it's funny, but it's like, shouldn't I be listening to something that will expand my mind a little bit? And it sounds like No Film School will kind of like key into like a bunch of things that like I'm curious about. So
maybe, yeah,
I'm looking forward to it.
Cool.
All right. But Willie, we're talking about this FBI document. Take it away.
Over the past, I would say 20 years, maybe even longer, you know, but like there definitely have been, we know about top secret stuff. We've had big releases of top secret information, the Podesta emails, Snowden, the Freedom of Information Act. And this whole time, aliens have not been real, this whole fucking time, other than to like conspiracy theorists, until now when we have major publications like the New York Times and the Washington Post and the, what's the other Washington one?
Democracy Dies in Darkness. Is that,
I don't know, the Tribune.
I know them more by their taglines. Yeah.
CNN, like they are saying, hey, some of the shit's has some legitimacy to it. Like the fact that the Pentagon.
So quick question. This document is the document that, this is the one that like, I want to say like a few weeks back, like everybody was like, hey, it's real. It turns out it's real. Aliens are real. Do you remember when that happened? Like, I feel like there's this moment, like maybe a month ago, where something came out and people were like,
I think you're legit. Probably talking about the UAP release, right?
Okay. Okay. Got it. Okay. Yeah. That might be what I'm talking about. But my feeds were just cluttered with everybody being like, see, all this time, man, it's always been true.
So, yeah, we find out that the Pentagon is currently spending millions of dollars researching UFOs when they're telling us that they're not real. And we've got situations of UFOs happening where trained experts are basically saying this is otherworldly. And so here we have an old document that was dated July 8th, 1947. This is the day after the incident at Roswell. And so because of all these new things, I'm just going like, well, we almost have to reevaluate old stuff with the idea that they either don't know things or they're actually are hiding things. And we don't need to talk about why, because why goes on to a tangent that leads to, you know, lizard people. You know, I mean, like,
yeah,
the why can get crazy, but the
crystal skull and the Indiana Jones movie is the why, remember?
So I just want to go through some of the statements that this document claims. And how do I identify this document? Let's see. This was released by the FBI. It was addressed to certain scientists of distinction, important aeronautical and military authorities. And it was sent to the FBI director in Washington from San Diego's office, detailing UFOs and extraterrestrials. So in this document, number one, it says part of the discs carry crews, like crews of entities, whatever, and others are under remote control, meaning other discs are, you know, like drones.
The discs are the saucer, the ships.
Yeah. And then in the second statement it makes is their mission is peaceful. The visitors contemplate settling on this plane. These visitors are human-like, but much larger in size. So that's weird, because this comes out a day after the Roswell incident, but this statement makes me say, from all of the information I've seen of Roswell, the things that they found, if they did find something, were smaller.
Yeah.
Somebody ordered five child size caskets, and then they got turned away because they said, no, there's no bodies here. What are you doing here with these caskets? Like, who ordered the casket? Anyways. So this might not be referring to that event, but another thing it says is they are not incarnate Earth people, but come from their own world. They do not come from any planet as we use the word, but from an etheric planet which interpenetrates with our own and is not perceptible by us.
Oh, that's weird.
So that's a weird statement in 1947.
So this is like, they're like dimensional.
Yeah, yeah.
And who released it?
Yeah, I kind of missed, like, someone sent this to the FBI, or this, like, what is this?
Yeah, so I'll go back. This was a classified document that became declassified. I don't think this was in the Podesta emails. They just bring up Podesta in the article because a lot of UFO stuff. Podesta now says he regrets that they didn't get the UFO information out. That's what they were planning on doing, this because he's the one that got, when these emails were released, that's how Tom DeLonge got connected to all this UFO stuff from Blink-182, because he was getting emails from Podesta.
Right.
I think this one came out Freedom of Information Act. This just was from the FBI vault.
Okay. So you don't know
who created this.
Yeah.
It was addressed to certain scientists of distinction, important aeronautical and military authorities. It was sent to the FBI director in Washington, and it came from San Diego's FBI office. So it was an FBI office in San Diego that was detailing UFOs and extraterrestrials in 47 and was sent to the FBI director in Washington. It doesn't have names. If there were names, they were black. There's some stuff blacked out.
Does this ruin everything? Because if they're bigger, what happened to Little Green Men? And like you guys touched on it, the area 51.
My eyebrows went up at the bigger thing, because I was like, this is the first time I've ever heard of anyone describing them as bigger.
Yeah.
That seems like a weird curveball.
My interpretation is this is referring to a specific encounters that they had. wasn't Roswell because this came from San Diego, but it was a day after Roswell happened is when
just,
it was sent.
Just coincidentally.
Yeah. And I think that because, you know, in the conspiracy world, Roswell was definitely not the first craft that had crashed where they had recovered bodies. It was just the first one that was public. There was at least one or two previous.
Right. Like the McMenamin one, right? Wasn't that in like the 30s or something?
Yeah, but that was just a sighting. They didn't have a crashed craft with bodies.
But my point is, like, this stuff had been happening.
Yeah.
But to clarify something, I want to clarify for my sense of this. This is an FBI office in San Diego, basically wrote this memo to, like, FBI headquarters, and FBI headquarters saved it in a vault, and it was released recently. I just want to get the story of this document.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Let me see if I can...
I think that sounds right. As far as I'm tracking it,
I think that this was released in a Freedom of Information Act dump, not too recent.
Okay. So at some point it was released, but it was from one FBI office to like FBI headquarters. I'm going to say, I feel like that makes me think it's like, look, some random dude could have written this letter, like outlined all this stuff he saw and sent it. And I would have thought, well, it's weird that the FBI saved that, but maybe they thought it was interesting, so they liked it. But if it's an FBI office that wrote it, that's what I'm kind of hung up on. Who wrote this thing? Like that, it's like, okay, you know, that's, we're in a different arena of believability.
Well, also, San Diego is a big military. I don't know if it was in the 40s, but like,
it was. No, it was.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of actually... No, even I know from family, but like troops came through San Diego to ship to the Pacific in World War II. So I think it was actually probably all San Diego was. Well, I mean, it was a lot of what San Diego was at that point.
It was military and then frat bros. And it's always been that way.
It's always been those frat bros and the college. Yeah, that
it is the West Coast Maryland. You know, Maryland is the East Coast, like the Navy was bigger than the Army at this time because we were shipping people everywhere. Like they had.
Are we in open discussion time or is this because like,
oh yeah,
this is like the best thing that I've ever heard because
of the Blink 182 part he mentioned or
no, I don't know. I don't know why he brought up Podesta for some reason, but that's not even what we're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that. They're like different dimension. This is not Martians. They're different dimension beings that we can't see, which is something we've talked about a lot. Like, because we explore the topic of aliens a lot, and we've talked about maybe they're on the fourth dimension or whatever, and we just can't see them. We always talk about what's your hero's name, the guy who's dead from the 70s,
Carl Sagan.
He's have you ever seen Sagan's thing where he's like describing the difference between dimensions, and he like puts the apple on the paper, and then like you would only see like the four points of the apple. You wouldn't see the whole apple if you're a two-dimensional. Have you ever seen that,
George? Sounds cool. No, I'm feeling like I didn't do my homework, man. Like this.
Don't worry about that.
I was just listening to this, and I'm like, I wish I knew what that was. And I'm remembering, as you say it, like I'm remembering this thing Michio Kaku wrote and explained in a video about like the variety of civilizations, or like if they were spacefaring, like how big they would be if they were like able to travel galaxy to galaxy. And it always sticks in my mind because when I hear something like it may have been, what did he say? Like another ethereal, like maybe ethereal wasn't.
It was cool how they put it.
Yeah. From it just sounded like
planet, which interpenetrates with our own and is not perceptible by us. I'm like, fuck, dude, that's fucking sounds awesome.
Yeah. So like this is calling back to what I said earlier when you were like, do you believe in ghosts or aliens? Like the question that that piece of information makes it sound like, well, I could believe in that because that goes beyond my understanding of
the I mean,
world.
That's kind of what I'm saying too, is it's like it's way better than this like material race who flew here from like some other galaxy or something like that. Like
that. Yeah, like Mars attacks. I keep saying, they're not fucking driving through space. Oh man, it was pretty rough back there through that. Was this, what do you call it? An asteroid belt?
So my big question.
We need gas. We ran out of gas, man. It's like Alf. It's not Alf. Like, it's not.
Right. It's not. But my question with this new, I mean, I love this. Like, I could easily be a believer in this. But my question is, because they make a point to say that they're not here for any nefarious reasons, right? Like, I can't remember the wording, but like, they're good guys. So
their mission is peaceful.
How does the person writing this know these kinds of things,
though? Yeah, well, that's what I want to know. How does he know that their mission is peaceful, and how is he able to see them? Do they have like a button they can turn on and be like, "Oh, let's show us. We'll show us to that dude. That guy seems cool."
Yeah, and yeah.
The sad part to me is when I read this, I go, "There's no way they got this information from peaceful communication."
Hmm. Well, why are you cynical about that? I don't understand.
Because if they had an open communication, this document would be very different. It would be like, hey, this needs to go to the president, not to the FBI office. Like, here we are.
But why does that mean that it would have to be like some kind of violence or something? Like, don't you think that this guy just like sent it to the FBI because he's just like some fucking guy? Like, he doesn't have a line to the president.
Yeah, I wonder if whoever put this together was even the one who experienced it. You know what I mean?
Well, right.
I definitely glorify I'm definitely like glorifying FBI agents, you know, but like old FBI agents were people in the military who were recruited because of how good they were. And they became FBI. Then, like, nobody applied for the FBI.
FBI agents are just fucking quarterbacks from the Ivy Leagues. Like,
nowadays, maybe then they were, maybe we can romanticize what they were, but they don't impress. Like,
you guys, I say all this.
I feel like the pool was even more shallow back then. Like,
could have been, yeah. No, I mean, we just assume that if it was Greatest Generation, they were all like on the top of their game. Dude could have been just tanked. Right.
I also, like, you know what?
Seeing double drunk.
I take umbrage with that Greatest Generation tag. Like, yeah, okay, fine. You beat the Nazis after not trying to be in the war for as long as you possibly could.
Yeah. Thanks to Russia, let's be honest. Like, Russia, like, let, like, die. So many Russians died just to, like, hold, you know. But I think, what do they say? The winners write this story. So like,
you win
a big war. I know that's a really dumb version of an elegant quote, but like the idea is like the winners write the story is not what it is, but like the victors tell the tale.
It's like history. The winners write the history or something like
that. But like, you know, you win a big war and you become a world superpower, which we did, which we probably aren't anymore the way we were. But like, so we had like a good 50, 60 year run because of that. So yeah, we call them the Great Generation because, like, you know, what happened afterwards? It's not really what
beginning of the end. Like, we should call it the beginning of the end generation.
Arguably,
we took the copper out of the pennies and put it to the war. We used steel for pennies. That's how committed we were. We made the women make the bullets.
That's what's exactly her name? Right. Rosa the Riveter. What's her?
Yeah, Rosie Riveter. Yeah, Willie is Rosie speaking. Riveter. A ghost of the generation is speaking through Willie to us now, and speaking on their behalf. Like, yeah, they did it. Like, they did it. But beginning of the end, right?
And we robbed the Nazis of their scientists, their gold, their art, and like that's all disappeared into the history.
I don't know
books,
if we robbed. Like, I mean, what were they going to do? I mean, we obliterated the Nazis. We didn't rob them.
They robbed some people too.
I would say that we robbed their scientists because we didn't allow them to live freely. They had to do their science for us
Fuck them. Do your science, Nazi. Do it for us now.
Yeah. I think it's kind of funny that we, it's like, it's kind of like the Lakers just buying the best player, right? They were just like, hey, I'll take that guy.
Yeah, the Lakers are the Greatest Generation of basketball.
The Americans of the World War II.
I'll take that top scientist. I'll max him out. Like, just give me the bomb so I can drop it, and like then I'll have a parade.
Damn you.
And then, we'll all go on Twitter and talk about how great we are, even though we just fucking like, we just stole this.
We stole the Nazi scientist. Yeah. And you'll have to endure 60 years of us talking about how great we are.
Whole space program is Nazi scientist.
The insufferable Americans is talking about how great we are when we just fucking stole all of it.
It's also part of why, isn't it part of why there's like so much boomer backlash? Because the boomers grew up with that like air of
the boomers. They got all the benefits.
Right. And they had the space program that the stolen Nazis built, and they get to romanticize it and love it and like bleed the country dry and all be rich and own houses. And now everything's falling apart. And it's just like, okay, you get to romanticize the
country is still hanging by its ankles, and the boomers are still just taking every ounce of blood out of it, and they will not give it up.
Right. No, it's a beautiful thing. Maybe the boomers
are man. Good for them. Good for them, these fucking guys.
So back to the document though. So assuming the guy wasn't like completely drunk, seeing double. Assuming he's writing this document because somebody explained to him what happened. Isn't it kind of weird that to you guys, to me, this thing being like saved by the FBI all these years indicates that there must be some perhaps relevance to them about
it? See, that's
do they just
weird.
Save every crazy note they get?
I feel like you've keyed in on a weird thing. I feel like they just everything that they've ever had is probably in a vault somewhere, you know, like I don't know that they've ever gotten rid of anything.
And see, my head says
yeah,
that
they're like
they
our parents,
probably
the boomers.
I would assume that they
holding on to every
really...
fucking thing with their last dying grasps. I'm sorry, Willie, go on.
No, it's all good. I assume that they delete the real important things because you see everything redacted. It's like, hey, we release this stuff and it's all redacted. And then this is around. And I'm like, somebody wrote this for us to find it later. So it'd just be mixed in with the shit, misinformation, disinformation.
Would you buy that they don't, that they left this around and didn't delete it because they were like, this is just ridiculous, so we're not worrying about it? Or would you think that they didn't delete it because they were like, this is important, we just want people to know? Like, I could go either way on that.
Well, and this one particularly, I'll read some other things that kind of make it weird also, but it's like, I feel like it's kind of like, well, we're not allowed to talk about this yet. Let's put it away. Like anything that's because I always say, hang on,
that's interesting because like then if you believe in Roswell, just like coincidence maybe fucked this memo up where they're like, oh fuck, like Roswell got out, like people are on to it, and now we've got this thing, let's fucking bury it, like we got to bury all this shit, you know?
Yeah.
Can I ask you guys a question? Because you talk about this a lot and aliens a lot. Why? I know Willie didn't want to get it. Excuse me. I know Willie didn't want to get into it. But can you tell me a little bit of the like, okay, why is it so important that nobody knows? Like, are they going to be panicked? Like, why is it so important to hide forever and never release? Like, if they felt like they had conclusive evidence and they knew, yes, Roswell happened and there were aliens, like, why are they so...
They knew that their children were going to grow up to be these spoiled boomers and they wouldn't fucking be able to handle it if they couldn't buy a house for 20 grand or however much
they turn into a $5 million home.
Yeah, yeah. If they knew that that was at stake, they would fucking riot.
My assumption is... that it's always all been about money and control. And as soon as people who want to be good find out that we don't need to use oil, then we'll never use it again. This doesn't compare to coal because.
Well, but here's my question though. Do you think that like, cause you're talking about like giant kind of conspiratorial like industries that manipulate the government. Do you think that that was happening even back in the 40s? I mean, that's the beginning of the military industrial complex, right? Like they're just building shit for the war.
Isn't that like, you know, I don't want to get too deep into the technical, but like Roger Rabbit was about the cars in the 40s and the gas.
Yeah.
You know, right. So
yeah.
And I consider Roger Rabbit pretty close to gospel in terms of like actual history.
Oh, yeah. We do. We talk about Roger Rabbit a lot. We both agree. Yeah, yeah.
It's you go to the video store, it's in the documentary section.
But there's another thing I want to bring up. This is something that I've thought about a lot. So as long as I get to talk to people about this, I want to bring it up because we're talking about aliens. We're talking about this time period. Here's something I could totally believe. I'm not aware of how we did it, but our technology took massive leaps in the 20th century, in the middle of the 20th century, and got faster and faster. The leaps we were taking. Like for a long time before that, there wasn't a lot of stuff, but things just accelerated. And I could believe that there is something we recovered in our, that we reverse engineered if in some of these crashes or things we found that helped us, someone, identify how to develop certain technologies like really quick. Because going from the analog era to the digital era seemed like this big, quick jump. And in the history, in human history, it feels like such an anomaly to me. Like, and maybe I'm just not that smart, but I am. There's a part of me that's always thought there could be truth to Roswell or mid 20th century alien landings, because we just, where did we get this shit? Like what you guys, what we're even doing. Wait, this podcast
I feel like Willie should address this and then I'll give the real answer.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'll try to do a quick summary, right?
That kind of talked about this a lot, I assume.
I think that, so when you look at like Eisenhower's address to the people as he was leaving office, it was a warning of the military industrial complex and their control and the dangers of them being in control. And the reason why he brings this up is because I think that we were recovering crafts. We were reverse engineering them. Their technology was so advanced at that point that they basically, if they released this information to public, everybody would be turned on their heads. You've been hiding this from us. You're lying to us. We don't need gas anymore. Like basically the whole releasing one thing would make all of society turn on its head. Then is religion real too? Like everything flips. The way that our society even makes money flips. Do we even need money? You know, everything. And here they are. If they were reverse engineering this stuff back then, they may have been dimensionally traveling or going through space back then before the moon. And so that's one idea. It seems too big. But I think that there are little truths to that where it's just like, well, you can't tell anybody because we've been lying to them the whole time. They won't defend. They won't believe us after that. And then also when you find out that alien species, that our military cannot do anything to defend against these aliens, even though they're not, so there are many species, but not all of them are here to make war. When you find out that our military is useless, then why fund that? And it's all, I don't want to say it's all just money, but I think that a lot of it has to do with they funded themselves. They did everything on their own. They became so secretive and so compartmentalized that nobody knew what they had and they didn't all get together and it's all just
right. But you fucking, you went to the conspiracy. He just asked if you think that we took technology from alien spacecrafts.
Well, yeah, I think that come. Yeah. I mean,
yes. The answer is yes. You know, maybe we did, but the thing about do you know about Moore's law? This is the theory that like, technology will double itself. Like, I think it's like every 18 months or something like that. Hmm. So like, and it's more about like, I think when he created it, when he theorized it, it was like microchips will be getting infinitely smaller. We'll be able to put as much technology into this thing as half in 18 months or whatever, because it's like iron sharpens iron, like violence begets violence. Like the more technologically advanced you get, the more you can.
Faster it's going. Got it. Yeah, 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 yeah. Got it.
So, and maybe that started with us, you know, stealing some shit from the aliens or whatever. But I think like then we sort of like took it on our own. Like I think whatever they found in the 60s, because you've seen the computers, they're like fucking the size of rooms.
Yeah. Yes.
So even if we had and this alien
it's
technology,
it's going to rain tomorrow.
Like we've
right. We've yeah. It. No, I mean, look, it's that I understand that there's like, you know, it's not like, you know, Steve Jobs or Bill Gates in their garages were being fed, you know, special information. Like I know right. people did develop this stuff further, but I think what I'm suggesting is that we got a spark somewhere, like a caveman with a flint, you know,
right.
that began or accelerated something. And I don't think it was just electricity because that happened quite a bit before. So like, I just feel like something like things picked up real quick and then sure. They doubled every, like,
I mean, there's probably historians who definitely listen to this podcast who are screaming right now.
Yeah,
just
right.
Going like, you don't know that electricity is not how we. I'm sure there's like some kind of like
sure.
weird circuitry or whatever we stumbled upon. I mean, you use the spark for the cavemen, like and here's the thing. I guess I'm proud of humans, and I don't want to give it to the aliens. Like I do want to think that we did this on our own, you know, like
that's how I am about like the pyramids and stuff. I totally agree with you. Yeah. Like we're definitely smart,
but
we definitely learn.
Yeah. That's the theory, man, is that like that, you know, we reverse engineered I think mostly it's what's cited as the Roswell crash that we like took the components and like kind of reverse.
But I think the Nazis had a craft too. I think the Nazis recovered a craft. Anyways, let me read this next one. The bodies of the visitors
stole. Yeah.
And of the craft also automatically materialize on entering the vibratory rate of our dense matter.
Yeah, man.
Say it again. I'm wrapping my head around it.
The bodies of the visitors and of the craft also automatically materialize on entering the vibratory rate of our dense matter.
So they're not visible or they're not material until they're in this plane, basically. Yeah.
So this also ties in with a lot of shit that we talk about where, George, there's a guy in Florida or something, and this is a pyramid theory too, I think, where like they use sound
Coral
waves
Castle,
to, yeah, Coral Castle, he uses sound waves. It looks like an ice cream cone, some kind of device he uses it. To like manipulate sound waves to move like giant material blocks, you know, to like build this castle or whatever.
Oh.
And so this is like an interesting, it almost gives more credence to that. I always thought that was like dumb as shit. But if that's a thing, because that's what they're talking about, right? They're talking about like radio yeah. waves and like and density and matter.
That I always use this comparison, but like tuning into a radio that like until you get the frequency right, you're not matter. So it's like, I'm over here.
I mean,
here.
It could explain, again, like this is getting into territory where I'm a real dummy, but it could explain how they travel because matter can't travel certain speeds as it is, right? So like
yeah,
if they,
yeah.
like it could be like it could be a piece of that. There's a part of me that's more inclined to believe this so far because it's written in a way that makes it seem like it's beyond what I understand. So it's easier for me to say like, I don't know. Like,
but this is like, maybe we can educate you just through our own questions, but like, or educate you. Who am I? I'm a pompous dick. I mean, this is all like fucking theory anyway, but like we talk about string theory a lot and like,
yeah,
you know, this table is not actually solid. It's a bunch of like super microscopic strings vibrating in a way that make it solid to me, right? Willie, mm-hmm. is that, I mean, kind of correct?
Yeah, for sure.
That sounds familiar. So, I've heard of this. I've heard of it before.
So basically what this memo is saying is like that it's string theory. They're vibrating through this like they exist on a different sort of like string theory wavelength. And so when they become apparent, it's because they've tuned into our frequency. They've manipulated their, you know, little microscopic strings to be matter in on our frequency. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got it.
I love this is the best thing. Why has it taken 6 years to talk about this? Well, this is amazing.
It's kind of like you just have to find the right thing. It's like I feel like somebody else had to write all this, you know, not me trying to explain it. It's like somebody.
This is a very plausible for me in my understanding of the world, as limited as it is. It's a very plausible version of something that could travel and exist here that you wouldn't see, which is that it's operating through a sub.
It like explains UFOs, you know, it's like,
right.
Everything that the skeptics say, that me and George say as zeros, has been taken away by this, because it's like, no, they don't travel through space. They fucking vibrate through matter.
Right.
Well, like
they're sophisticated enough that they're capable of traveling distances we can't comprehend traveling, because they're moving through matter itself, or they're changing what they're in, or maybe they're not. Like, this is the thing I was like, maybe they're not aliens. Maybe they're some future evolution of us or something like that. Well,
I was saying this recently, the aliens a weird term, because it's like, it's from our perspective that they're not from where we're from.
Yeah.
Like, but like, so why can't you call them just what they are, whatever they call themselves? Here's a parallel I have about space, right? Like, when you look at the space in an atom, you got a nucleus with like electrons going around it, and most of the atom is just filled with space. But eventually all these atoms get together and this thing's solid. And then you look at our solar system. Most of the solar system is space. You got these planets spinning around the sun. Is our solar system, is our Milky Way galaxy a solid to something that's bigger than us? You know, like is there a parallel there?
Right, are we the table that I'm fucking knocking on right now?
Yeah.
Is this the end of Men in Black?
You know, the marbles or whatever?
Yeah.
yeah, it is. Here's another thing.
Can I just throw something else out there that's unrelated to this one, but that I think about all the time these days, conspiracy theory wise, is just that that we're a simulation thing. Have you guys done
it? Oh, dude, I'm so into that. I believe it.
Yeah. I hate to say it, but I believe it too.
We're the same, man. We have all the same opinions and all this.
I've come to this point in my life where, like, I really do. Like, I think, what was it the other day? I mean, Trump was a big one for me, because it was just like, this feels like the simulation, like just screwing up, kind of like this weird thing that like probably couldn't happen, but there's like some percentage of it happening that, like, if you tried to explain, you'd be like, no, like there's just those kinds of things. And then there's just so much that the simulation is
coming back.
Yeah, it's my new.
Yeah, I come at it from a more positive way, which is that, like, I do believe in like the power of positive thinking, and like prayer is just kind of positive thinking and stuff like that. And it's sort of been scientifically proven to work. And how is that possible
for every religion? Sorry to catch it. Yeah.
Yeah, well, but that's the thing. It's like every prayer in every religion is the same thing. It's just me going like, if I envision it and I believe in it enough, then it's very kind of like hippy dippy, like new age stuff. But like, how is that possible if we don't live in a simulation? If we're not sort of like sending stuff into like whatever video game or program this is, like, how is that possible?
Yeah,
and see, my take on what you guys are saying is, it's not that we're in a simulation, it's that our existence is similar to a simulation, and that the reason why it's similar is because our mind actually has a power to believe, like, when you do believe in things, like, they kind of can come true, because that, you know, like how a simulation works, gives you all these different possibilities. The possibilities you believe in have a stronger chance of.
Oh, I like that. And I can tie that into something I think we all can relate to, like, because we're all, like, you know, creatives or storytellers in some way. We've all kind of dabbled in that, that there is like this innate, it's proven, this innate human thing where it's like, you will spin a narrative of everything. Like, there's a narrative that you spin about every single experience you have, about all day. Like, you are a constant storyteller to yourself. And I do think that that's kind of somewhere along the lines that, like, the mind manifesting outcomes is like the mind is telling the story, and you even perceive, you know, you'll like
tell yourself a story about the past. And over time, you'll like alter it enough that it becomes kind of like smooth and pleasant. And like, this is what happened. Like, I believe this and I believe my lies and I believe my, like, so I think that there's some relationship between that and future or present outcome where you're just like, I'm kind of deciding how this all looks and means. It's like, there's a, it's like Rashomon, like, but like multiplied. That it's like everything, every minute, moment in your life is kind of your own Rashomon where you're like, I decide this means this, you know?
And that, yeah, that no, also there, is there, sort of the... I remember there was this time we were in college. I don't know if I've told this on the pod before. If I have, I'm sorry. But we were in college. My friend was driving. He was like kind of being an asshole to this car in front of us. He was like kind of tailgating him. And we went around him. And then they went around us and stopped. And they got out and they wanted to fight. And we all got out just to be like, well, I don't know. I guess we're fighting now. And for like years, I was convinced that that was just a story that I had heard and I wasn't there. And then my friend was like, no, you were there. And so now I've rewritten it in my head. And now I do remember being there. And I remember exactly everything that I did. And it's all fake. It's all just like this shit that exists in my head, you know?
Yeah. It's like with a kid, the story that the parents tell the kid when they're young, and then the kid starts remembering the story and thinking it's a memory. Like they fill in the blanks. The kid doesn't have the memory, but the story becomes the memory, and then the memory of the story. And then like, I mean, that is just that's why the simulation thing kind of makes sense to me. Is like, I'm not saying that, like, you know, there's a being running a simulation in his basement, like for fun, like the bag of marbles and Men in Black. I'm just saying that like there is a certain aspect of this that is like the narratives and outcomes are like kind of dictated in this weird randomized way. There's something and it's not as organic. Like there's a weird fate that is, future is not unknown.
But then it's like, what? Like, how do you explain like Jeff Bezos or something? Like how is he manipulating this simulation to such an extent where he's just taking everything and we're all going like, oh, please don't. Like, how do we combat that?
Like in my head, what's happening is he needs to exist so that we can. All, you know how like every situation you make, politics especially, is so personal to you. So like when you get a big tyrant, the old tyrant being Hitler, the new tyrant being like someone who's taken all of your money, it makes us all agree that this isn't right. And so like we all have to be affected by it to see how bad it is. We just haven't been fucked by him yet, you know, like it's coming. Yeah. So maybe you need a big worldly tyrant to get everyone on the same page, because otherwise, you know, anything your family says isn't going to make you turn.
That'd be
head.
Great. That'd be great if Gen X is the actual greatest generation because we take down the billionaires somehow. Like we're the tiniest little generation, and we've been stuck in between these two monoliths. It would be great if that was our purpose, to be like, fuck billionaires.
Yeah.
I don't think they should be legal.
Yeah. I mean, there should be a hard cap. I think that's a fascinating.
Oh, you know what's funny about that? Because we talk about that too. Like, hey, once you get to $1 billion, you can't get any more. Everything that you get should go back. And I was looking at failed amendments to the Constitution the other day, and one of them from like, I don't even know when it was, from the 40s or something, it was like, once you get to $1 million, you can't have any more. And so like, this is how long that shit has been happening. Wow. And of course they voted it down and stuff.
They'd have to keep increasing the number, because if it was still $1 million now, 100%. It wouldn't be fair. Yeah. But I think it's funny that the funniest thing to me about this idea, and I can't explain how the simulation works in a sense that, like, why is there a Jeff Bezos? I do think there's a random chaos. I believe chaos is the true defining order of the universe. And I think that it's like this chaotic thing that this guy like had one great idea that happened, like timing, randomness, like bouncing atoms, bouncing off each other. Like the Amazon selling books is like a very simple, basic thing. It just blew up. Like he left. Anyway, I do think that like the, I do think that, shoot, lost my train of thought. The, we were talking about Bezos. We were talking about money. The cap. So the cap thing of money, the fascinating thing to me, it's another reason why people's narratives dictate reality, is so many people are scared of the idea of capping how much money someone can make because they genuinely think they might be affected by that. Like, can you imagine being crazy enough to think that I might want $1 billion one day? Like, I, George, might make $1 billion and need one more. It's like, are you fucking crazy? Like, you know how crazy you have to be worried about what happens to somebody after $1 billion? Like, that's not, I can't even comprehend of worrying.
Well, that's what they say about America. America is just a land filled with future billionaires, right?
Like, right, I know, but I still, every time I encounter one, it blows my mind that they think that it will ever impact them or that it has any bearing on, like, you know, once you have $500 million, like, you don't even have to get me to $250 for me to be like, I'm cool. I'll cash in my chips. Like, that's how casinos work. That's the thing. Again, this like people creating their narratives is like, so many people are not interested in cashing in their chips. They're interested in like continuing to play and win. Like, like take your money. You got money.
Right. Oh, no, it's ridiculous. Oh. Fuck, I also lost my train of thought, but we should wrap this up. Willie, do you have any sort of like, is there any kind of final like bombs that you want to drop?
Let me read these last two real quick, and then we can make our closing statements for everything. The region from which they come is not the astral plane, but corresponds to the locus or the talus. Students of esoteric matters will understand these terms. And the locus and the talus are Sanskrit words, which in Hinduism means like world, place, or plane of existence. I know it describes more of how that plane works, whatever. And then the last one is, they probably cannot be reached by radio, but probably can be by radar if a signal system can be devised for that. Now, that's a crazy thing to me because from what I've seen, if there was basically the craft that went down at Roswell was probably because of this new radar device we were using. So like that specifically is like, yeah, that's where everybody was at that point where they call it radar, but it's actually a different technology, but it's all looped into radar. And so to me, I'm like, this is just this weird document that accidentally reveals too much, but then it's also crazy because if this were real, there's way too many other things that need to be brought up. Like, did you talk to them? How'd you know they were peaceful? Like, you saw their ships? It's like, how do you know everything? And what's that story? And but I do like the way that this document makes me think about the situation, and to think that this is from 1947 makes me go like, man, we've kind of ignored everything since then. You know, I mean, not since then. I know it's whatever I focus on in my life, but like, I think that, like, let's say aliens came tomorrow, I would plead for them to just not, like, don't interact with us. We're not ready for you because the way that we live our lives is not ready to join any other sort of community. Because we're greedy. Our whole life is based on money. I know that people of religions will argue differently from me, but those religions are making money off of you believing that. And we're just waiting to colonize space. Like, we don't have a respect for other entities in the universe. And I don't know how we're going to get there. So I hate to think that that's the state of humanity, because people like dogs and cats more than they like other people, you know? But I don't know. I'm just in that realm of like, we're not ready to respect an entity that's smarter than us.
Definitely not.
Yeah.
I mean,
this is not a hot take. We're the worst.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, and I think like, if they are as smart as if they exist and they're as smart as we presume them to be, they already know that shit. They're not going to show up here and be like, please fucking nuke us because we're different than you. Like, they know.
Who are you?
I always used to think that like this like is a weird one, but I always thought if an alien came by and they saw like the stuff we do or enjoy, I feel like there's like a 99% chance they'd be like, oh God, I'm never going to that planet. Like they'd just be like, I'm not stopping there. I know the thing I said earlier was just the like the anthill thing, that it's like, I don't know that they care. And like I don't know that they really think deeply about what we do, because I assume we are so small and weird to them that there's like this just, what is that little thing by the side of the galactic highway that's like, oh, it looks like there's something alive there, but like, I don't, like, I'm doing Star Trek things. But like, there's a part of me that does think like, if an alien was closer to our ability of consciousness and saw like, you know, medieval torture or God knows what other things, or even just like the TV shows we like the most, they would just be like, oh no, 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 no.
It's the exact same as I never want to go to a wedding in the Middle East where they just are going to fire guns up into the air, because you see these internet videos where they're not safe with their guns and they end up like accidentally shooting each other and stuff. And it was just like,
I just thought you were going to even say like, I don't even want to go to like a wedding in like Bakersfield or something.
I don't want to be bothered.
Right. No, I mean, I just feel like there's a genuine, like so much of humanity is unpleasant that even as a fellow human, there's a part of me that's like, so I can only imagine the alien. I do want to say, what this reminds me of, this document, is there's an original series Star Trek episode where they like accidentally travel back to 1965 when the episode was filmed, because hey, it's cheap because they can just be in the era that they're shooting. That's a good one for sci-fi shows, you know. But like, so they travel back to the time the show's being made in, and they like have to sneak into like an airbase, and they have to be in there, and a couple guys do see them, and it kind of creates this like chaos of like this like flow of events where it's like, well, it's not like we have to kill this guy, but we have to bring him with us now because we can't leave him because he knows. And then they're like, oh, but we do have to leave him because he has a kid who's really important to history. So they're like dealing with all of that. And there's a part of me when I hear this document that I just think, I think that there could be a like incident that takes place and some guy is just trying, or some set of people are just trying to say like, okay, I don't really know how to explain what happened, but I'm going to use the language to the best of my ability to explain like this thing that I'm pretty sure I saw, that I'm pretty sure happened, that was like materialized out of nowhere, that like, you know, like it's that episode basically.
Yeah. Yeah. They didn't kill me, so they must be peaceful. Like,
right.
just kind of assuming a bunch of shit based on this weird thing that he saw.
Yeah. Trying to piece together the events that make no sense to him.
Yeah. And, you know, he's probably smart. Like, I mean, based on the language he's using, he's probably a super smart dude or whatever. So maybe he's right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. George, thanks for being here. The podcast, again, is called No Films School. You got like, what, 3 episodes a week or some crazy shit?
2. Yeah, sometimes more. 2 at least.
So check that out. I guess Willie and I are going to do it at some point. Is this?
Yeah. You're definitely going to do it.
Okay, great. So watch out for that. Oh, I also wanted to say, I guess we'll get into plugs here. Willie and I are going to do a live real life sci-fi on Rob Schraub's Twitch channel. The date is yet to be announced, but look out for that. We're going to like analyze some videos and stuff. It'll be a lot of fun. Willie, any plugs?
I'm going to keep plugging this. Go to I made a Googie page for that's kid friendly, and I'm trying to get to 100 subscribers so I can change the address name of it. And I'm probably going to start making stuff with Moose. But just Google Googie on YouTube. Search for Googie on YouTube. Don't Google.
I remember Googie. Nice.
George, anything outside of the podcast that you want to let our audience know about?
I mean, you can follow me on Twitter at George Edelman. I don't know if it's called retweet, subtweet, comment tweet.
Yeah, they changed it. I don't know either.
Yeah, I'm a troll. So enjoy. I can be a troll and I like memes. So
nice, man. It's love
fun.
It.
Like I've pissed people off too. And it's just, it, you know, I don't have much of a filter.
All right, cool. Thanks for listening, everybody. Remember, patreon.com/reallifesci-fi, 2 bonus episodes a week. George, thanks for being here. Are we doing a little bit of a marathon here? Are you going to stick around and do the bonus episode with us?
Sure.
All right. So
if you want me, tuned. I mean, I don't have to.
We need you. Yeah. Stay tuned for that. And thanks for listening. And just because you're paranoid does not mean they're not after you.